us out there and getting things working in the north. I need somebody to do me a favor that's tech savvy. Somebody find our YouTube page and be sure that we're streaming live right now. Just you can then put your phone back there. Don't be playing with your phone all day. All right. Just make sure we're streaming live on YouTube and let me know. There's nothing I can do about it now, but I would like to know if it's happening. All right. If you have your Bible, look in the book of Judges here this evening, and we'll try to give you a message. I believe it would be a help to us all. Judges chapter number 10. Judges chapter number 10. And we're going to see what the Lord has for us here. Judges chapter 10. I have the verses here in just a moment. There we go. All right. There it is. Judges chapter 10 and verse number 1. Judges chapter 10 and verse number 1. We'll see what the Lord has for us here. Judges chapter 10 and verse number 1. The Bible says, "And after Abimelech, there arose to defend Israel Tola, the son of Puah, the son of Dodo." Now, I went and listened to my Bible app, and that was exactly how they pronounced it. And so, how'd you like somebody named you Dodo? Your mom and dad would not like you very well if they named you Dodo. I just imagine. I guess it probably meant something a whole lot different back then. The son of Dodo, a man of Issachar, and he dwelt in Shamir in Mount Ephraim. Verse number 2 said, "And he judged Israel 23 years and died, and was buried in Shamir. And after him arose Jair, a Gileadite, and judged Israel 22 years. And he had 30 sons that rode on 30 ass colts, and they had 30 cities, which are called Hamath Jair unto this day, which are in the land of Gilead. And Jair died and was buried in Canaan." Father, in Jesus' name, I pray, God, that you would help us, Lord, as we've opened your word. I pray, God, that you would open our hearts to the reading of the word. And Lord, to all that you have for us here tonight, I thank you, God, for all you have done. And Lord, all that you will do in this place and in this hour, thank you, and we love you, we bless you. In Jesus' name we pray tonight. Amen and amen. Tonight, as we begin to look into this portion of Scripture, I told you when we began preaching through the book of Judges that I would make it a point to try to preach on things that jumped out to me as I looked through this book. I wasn't necessarily planning to preach every verse all the way through, but as things would jump out at me, that I would share those with you and try to be a help and an encouragement and a blessing to you. And tonight, as we're looking here, we found a portion of Scripture that I believe can be helpful to us. And we run into some guys that you may not be real familiar with, and I wasn't very familiar with them at all. In fact, I learned several things as I studied, and I'll share some of those with you here tonight. Look with me there as the Bible introduces us to two men. The Bible says there in verse number 1, that there was a man by the name of Tola. Then, in verse number 3, there's another judge, and his name is Jair. Now, when we think about the judges, we think about who? Gideon. We think about him. We think about Samson. We even think about Deborah and Barak. And, we think about Ehud. And all of these, those are people that that we've looked at. We looked at Othniel, Ehud, Shamgar. Remember Shamgar? He had the ox goad and slew all those people. Deborah, Barak, and then we talked about Gideon for the last several weeks. But there are six minor judges in the book of Judges. Those are, of course, these who we're looking at tonight, Tola and Jair. Also, Shamgar is considered a minor judge. Then there's a guy by the name of Ibzan, verse chapter number 12. Also in chapter number 12, you run across a guy by the name of Elon. And then there's a Abdon as well in chapter number 12. These are people that we don't hear a whole lot about. They're called minor judges. And the reason that they're considered minor judges is because they were not necessarily great military leaders and had done great military feats like Deborah even and Gideon, Barak, and all that involved there. But during their reign, they helped maintain a time of peace. They helped maintain a time that God could use them to be a help and to be a blessing in the lives of the children of Israel. And so, while the Bible has very little to say about these two men, I believe their lives can teach us some things here tonight. And so, as we look, I want us to know this, that you don't necessarily have to be known around the world and known to everybody to be used for the glory of God. I'm thankful that God will take an unknown and He can do something with him. Amen. I just don't know the belief, and I believe with all my heart there'll be a lot of people that are going to outshine the famous people we know when we get to heaven. There's going to be a lot of praying grandmas that get a whole lot of crowns at their feet. There's going to be a lot of little preachers that were on the backside of nowhere. It seemed like nobody knew their name, but God knew exactly where they were. Amen. I believe every one of us here this evening can make a difference right where we're at by living some principles that we'll learn here in the Word of God. Look with me, if you will, in verse number 1. Verse number 1 said, "And after Abimelech there arose to defend Israel," and it begins to list these two men that served during this time frame. And so I begin to think about why were they defending Israel? What were they defending Israel from? And so I notice there's a situation that they find themselves placed in. A situation they find themselves placed in chapter number 9, if you want to read that tonight or tomorrow, if you want to study around that, chapter number 9 of Judges tells you the story of Abimelech. Abimelech was the son of Gideon. Abimelech, after that Gideon had died, Abimelech decided that he should be king. Now, Brother Robert, Abimelech, or Gideon rather, had 70 children. 70 children. Yeah, exactly. He had 70 children, and so that means Abimelech had 69 brothers and sisters. That's a whole lot of youngins, and praise God. That's all I can say right there. The son of Gideon, he was the son of Gideon by a concubine. And chapter number 8 tells us about that. And Abimelech takes these men, his father's sons, most of them were his half-brothers. He kills all but one. The youngest one, a little boy by the name of Jotham, escapes. And for 3 years, Abimelech reigns there in Israel. He didn't judge as Gideon did. He didn't judge as others before him did, where they turned their heart back to God. But he rose up. He was not anointed by God, placed by God. He had a bunch of people around him. There's a sordid affair how he got there, but he used money, gave the money to these people. They go in and slay all of his brothers. And for 3 years he reigns. Then they turned their back on him. Shocker. If you go into a situation
in an ill-gotten way, you can go ahead and mark her down that that's going to come around on you. Those people that were crooked, that you dealt with to get into that thing, they didn't change their ways. They're going to be the same in 3 years. They're going to be the same later on. And when there's more money offered, then your head's on the chopping block. Somebody say amen right there. So, there's an uprising that happens. Abimelech gets a little bit too close to a wall. A woman throws a rock down, hits Abimelech, a great big millstone, hits Abimelech in the head, and he's injured bad. In fact, he's going to die. And he said, I ain't going down by the hand of a woman. So he gets one of his soldiers to stab him through with a sword so that he dies. This is just, I'm just giving you a little bit of, there's a civil war that's happening. I'm talking about the situation they're placed in. Not only is there a civil war and a military uprising and upheaval that's going on, as soon as Gideon died, just like the other judges, the people of God turned their back on God. They turned their back on the worship of God. In fact, they began to worship a Canaanite fertility god. We've read about him many times in the Bible. His name is Baal. And they began to bow down to Baal. They began to worship Baal. I think probably, as far as a pastor, one thing that bothers me the most is when people forsake God and they go out and do their own thing and they do their own way. They might not be necessarily bowing down to some sort of idol, but in a way they are, because they're bowing down to self and what self wants. They're allowing Satan to have rule and reign in their life. I would to God we'd get some people that just make up their mind, no matter what happens, no matter who's here, no matter who's there, I'm going to serve God. I'm going to be faithful in the service of God. I'm going to be faithful around the things of God. They had a situation that they were going on, and their situation that was going on around them. It reminds me of how in America we've got all sorts of problems that go on around us. There's all sorts of problems that we face, that you face, and that I face. But I believe in the life of Tola and the life of Jair, what they inherited, the situation that they were placed into, God, it did not take God by surprise. By the way, it didn't take God by surprise, the situation he put you into and me into as well. The Bible tells us that we are to be lights in this dark world. That we are to be a light, like a city set on a hill. It also tells us that we are to be the salt of the earth. God has made us, I believe it was Esther that said like this, for such a time as this. God knew exactly what would be going on in 2021 when God saved you, when God placed you into the body, into the bride of Christ. God put you in for such a time as this. You might think nobody's ever been through what we're being through and going through, and you might be just right, but God picked the right person because God knew you could handle it. God knew he could trust you. God knew he could use you in a dark hour that we're facing. Amen. God, here's some principles. I'm thinking about that. God always has a remnant. God always has a remnant. In Israel, things were bad. The nation was at war with itself. The majority of the people were worshiping idols. In the midst of all that, God still had a remnant. In everything that was going on, God had some people that had made up their mind they're going to serve. I like what Joshua said. He said, you can go serve the gods that we served on the other side of the flood, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Some of us need to make a line in the sand and say, I ain't going no further. I'm not going to back up anymore. I'm going to stand right here. I'll fight right here. And if it means I'll have to die right here. right here. Somebody needs to just make up their mind. I'm going to stand in these lampstands. That fact has not changed. God always has a remnant. Remember Elijah, he thought he was serving God all by himself. Everybody else had forsaken him, he thought. And the Bible says that he told him, I've reserved to myself 7,000 knees that have not bowed. When you feel like you're all alone, when you feel like nobody else is trying, when you feel like nobody else is doing it, I just remember this. God has a remnant. God still has a remnant. In this day and hour, in the dark day we live in, there are still some people that have a prayer closet. There's still some people that get a hold of the Word of God. There's still some people that find out from that book what God has to say. There's still some people that love the church. There's still some people that love Jesus. There's still some people that bring lost to nine people to the Lord Jesus Christ. There's still some people that sing. There's still some people that shout. There's still some people that testify. There's still some people that worship in these last day and days. Somebody give them some glory. God always has a remnant. Serving God's not always easy, but it is always right. Serving God is not always easy, but it is always right. Can you imagine what it must have been like coming in behind that mess that Abimelech had caused? They decide they're going to do something for the glory of God. They're going to live by the principles of God. It probably wasn't easy for them, and child of God, it may not be easy for us either. In fact, I believe the Bible says something like this: "Yea, and all that live in that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." There's going to be. Jesus said, "They hated me; they're going to hate you as well." There's going to be times that things you can go along to get along, but there are going to be many days in your life and my life that we're going to cut against the grain. There are going to be many times that things don't go just exactly how everybody else would have them to go. It might not be easy living for the Lord, but it's still right to live for the Lord. I think Dr. Bob Jones said it like this: do right, and even if the stars fall, do right. Make up your mind. You're going to live for God. Wouldn't it have been easy for them to say nobody else is? Nobody else wants to do right? I don't think I will either. Can I just be honest with y'all? There's times when the devil gets me down and discourages me, and I see things going the way they go at times. Brother Robert, I think, why should I continue to hold the line? Why should I continue to fight? Why should I continue? Maybe if I change this, maybe if I change that, maybe it would just be okay. Then, hallelujah, I'm glad for that still small voice. I'm glad he still speaks in this day and in this hour. When the devil comes whispering on your shoulder and telling you all he's got to tell you, I'm glad there's a God that's tipsy. I'm glad there's a God that's available. I'm glad there's a God that shows up right on time every time somebody helps. Serving God's not always easy, but it is always right. The world we live in is a mess. I don't think anybody would disagree with that. We can blame Washington. We can blame Raleigh. We can blame Charlotte. We can blame Gastonia. But the truth is, we can blame modern day churches. The truth is, a lot of the fault lies at our own feet. If we would be what we should be in this world, I think we would have a whole lot more influence on those around us.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. I think I'd get a whole lot of amens right there. Notice
form. Verse 2 said he judged Israel 23 years and died. Verse number 3 said, and after him arose Jair, a Gileadite, and he judged Israel 22 years. Now, not much at all is said, a little bit said about Jair here, but not much at all is said about what they did. They may not have led great military campaigns. They may not have commanded great armies. They may not have left a legacy of great spiritual achievements, but what they did accomplish deserves our consideration as we look. These men helped maintain peace for almost 450 years in a nation that was split apart, in a civil war, in a nation that was living in rebellion, in a nation that was involved in pagan worship. This is no small feat. There were no attacks from the outside, but they prevented the nation from being ripped apart from on the inside. I think what we need to remember is this. There are some times that the greatest enemy is not necessarily on the outside. Sometimes the enemy we've got to face and we've got to fight is slipped in on the inside. I've said this many, many times. It's extremely rare that we have problems coming in from the outside. It is extremely rare that the government or some other body would try to bring harm to us, bring hurt to us. That happens very infrequently. But what happens time and time again is that Satan gets involved. He gets a place. The Bible said neither give place to the devil. He gets a place that he can get a toehold in, and he starts fighting. He starts causing a division. He starts causing all kinds of problems. I want to God we get some people that just say, I'll be faithful and I'll fight and I'll keep peace in the house of God. Somebody help me. They were like salt. I told you, Jesus said we are to be the salt of the earth. Salt purifies. It has an influence. It has a preserving influence. Salt wards off rot and decay. Y'all may have eaten some country ham. Country ham. Yeah, exactly, Brother Ronnie. I can't eat country ham. I used to. They feed us at one of the jobs I worked at. And the boss man always wanted to get country ham. And I'd get two country ham biscuits and a big old cup of orange juice. And every time after that, I felt terrible. I thought, what in the world? Is it the orange juice? No. It was all that salt in that ham that had me messed up. But it was a preserving influence for me. Before they could refrigerate, they would do that. So when Jesus said, you're the salt of the earth, he was speaking to a society. He was speaking to a time that they knew a lot of what he was meaning when he said that. It has a penetrating influence. Salt will penetrate anything that it touches. Anything that goes onto, it goes into. Wouldn't that be good if we were like that? If we were salt of the earth. Anything we were sprinkled around, we'd get into. He has a purifying influence. There's a cleansing ability that's involved. And so I don't have time to go into all this real deep. There's a pleasing influence. If you want to bring out the best of flavor, you add a little salt. So how many of y'all put salt on your watermelon? Amen. It makes it taste sweeter. I don't know how that works. Some of y'all shaking your head at me. For me, it meant you put a little bit of salt on your watermelon, it tastes good. You put a little bit of salt on your lemon, You put a little bit of salt on your cantaloupe. You ever done that before? All these things. I'm not talking about a whole bunch. Some of y'all just go crazy. My mom, she's the saltiest person that I know. Before she ever tasted something, she grabbed the salt shaker and she's a shaking everywhere. Put salt on it. It's gonna have to have more salt. But salt having too much is a poisoning influence. Salt can kill some things. Wouldn't it be nice if the very presence of Christians would kill some things? I remember a day
And I remember an hour where somebody was talking in such a way and they found out you as a preacher, they'd say, "Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know you as a preacher. I'm sorry, I didn't know you as a Christian. I shouldn't have said what I was saying around you. I'm sorry about that." It ought to have a poisoning. It ought to kill some things at the root. Lord help, I can't help but say it. It would be nice if in the house of God, around the people of God, if we had some killing, some poisoning influence about things like bitterness, about things like unforgiveness, about things like a gossip that's going on. I want to God we get some people that make up their mind and they say, "I'm going to be salt where I'm at." Our promoting influence, it creates a thirst for water. There's some things you just can't get your thirst quenched until you get some water. You can try Gatorade, you can try this, you can try that, but there's something about the sodium in all that that just drains you. You just got to have water. My dad, he was a water drinking fool. He loved water. Now, they'd make a gallon of sweet tea. They'd put about two or three lemons, cut them up, put them all in it. But after he ate his food and he drank his sweet tea at the end, Brother Robert, he always wanted a great big glass of water. He was all the time wanting water. He had a thirst in him that he knew that nothing else would happen one time. Y'all have to forgive me. I'm trying to stay right here because I can't get everything controlled like it needs to be controlled. So I'm just staying right here for tonight. I will fix that by next service. All right? Because I can't stand just hanging out right here. I feel like I'm just teaching to y'all. But as a kid, Jason, I remember us being outside playing in the sun, playing in the heat. Used to, kids went outside to play. I mean, that's what you did. You went outside to play. And then we would come in, I was going to the refrigerator to find me something cold to drink. They didn't have anything that I wanted to drink, Brother Robert. But I did see a great big jug of something that was cold, and it was milk. And I got a great big old glass of milk on a hot stomach. And let me tell you, I ain't never made that mistake again. I have never done that again. There's some things that it just won't do until you get some water. I used to read meters. I walked, y'all can believe this, but I walked sometimes 10 miles a day. I ate enough to handle all the calories that I was losing. Amen. But there was a house that I'd go to once a month. I would be in certain areas. And every month, Brother Robert, I'd always stop at this one house because at the back of the door, she had a y'all know what a hose pipe is, don't you? I used to, you could drink out of hose pipes. I was raised drinking out of hose pipes. And I'd stop and I'd get me a drink out of that hose pipe, and she'd hear me messing around back there. This little old lady, she's sweet, she could be. She'd come out and say, "Sonny, would you like something cold to drink?" I say, "Well, yes, ma'am. I sure would." She'd bring me something cold to drink. One day I was over at another house and they had a pool. Man, that thing was crystal clear, and it looked cool, and it was sure was hot that day, Brother Robert. And I thought, I can't jump in. I got all my clothes on, and I got to read the rest of this route. I can't jump in. What I can do is I'm going to stick my head down in the pool. And when I stuck my head down, I took my arm, and I rubbed my hair real good, and I thought, man, I'll feel good. And Brother Robert, I started walking. And it wasn't about a house or two down the way that I thought, I'm supposed to be getting cooled off, and something's burning me. And I said, "What?" And I got to thinking. I said, "I know what they did. They shocked that pool." And I stuck my head down, and you know what I did? I found me a hose pipe, and I washed off real good. Amen. I have no idea why I told you all that. There's a promoting. I'm telling you, there's salt will make you thirsty. Now, have you ever heard anybody say this? "Well, if he's a Christian, if she's a Christian, then I don't want to be one." God help us. Help us. That would ever be said of us. I sure hope
my prayer is somebody sees something inside of me that makes them thirsty for Jesus. Salt has a proven influence. It changes the things that it touches. It's like someone said, God didn't call us to be a thermometer. God empowered us to be a thermostat. We're to set the temperature where we're at. Down at the workplace, we ought to be setting the temperature of where we're at. In our homes, we ought to set the temperature of where we're at. God wants you and me to implement change in this wicked world. Some people say, well, you've got to be like the world to win the world. Jesus didn't. The church that's turned the world upside down, they didn't. What we need is the power of God on our lives. What we need is the anointing of God on our life. Tola and Jair carried out an important ministry. God used them to touch a nation. God used them to maintain peace for 50 years or 45 years. God used them for His glory. And I think that's a mark of a successful ministry. You think, well, you can't point to a whole lot of things they did. Well, for 45 years, I can tell you a whole lot of things that didn't happen because they were faithful. I'll give you this last one. Look there in verse number 1. After Abimelech, there arose to defend Israel Tola, the son of Cush, the man of Issachar. Verse number 2 said, he judged Israel 23 years, died, and was buried in Shamir. After him arose Jair, a Gileadite, and judged Israel 22 years. The sermon they preached. They didn't lead armies. They didn't build cities. They didn't write books. But their lives still preach a message to us today. Some lessons from their lives are this. You don't have to be famous to make a difference. Neither one of them are well known. In fact, had I not preached on them tonight, some of you, it may be many years before you even heard that name. The same is true for you, and the same is true for me. Some people think, well, if I don't have this platform, if I don't have a big name, if I don't have all these things going on in my life, then I can't be used by God. We'd be surprised at what God would do with one life that's surrendered, one life that said, I might not reach them all, but I can reach one. And you might be the one that reaches one, that reaches millions, or even billions. Just go ahead and do your part. Go ahead and be faithful where you are. You don't have to be famous to make His name famous. Amen. You don't have to accomplish great deeds to live an extraordinary life. Tola and Jair never did anything necessarily extraordinary, but their lives still testify to us today. Most of us will not be famous. My kids ask me sometimes, would you rather be rich or be famous? I say, I'd rather be rich. I mean, I don't care about being famous at all. Now, being rich would be all right. Now, I'm not going after filthy lucre and all that stuff. But, I mean, if I had the choice, Miss Carolyn, give me the money. I don't care about the followers. I don't care about the paparazzi. I don't care about none of that. I can do without all that. But one thing I got to thinking about is, I hope it can be said of me as it was of Paul. They tried to cast out a demon. They said, Jesus I know, Paul I know, but who are you? What if we had a name that was known not only in heaven, but was known in hell? What if they knew? Now that's one that you don't want to mess with. That's one that you don't want to bother. God can help us make the best of a bad situation. They inherited a country that was in all kinds of trouble. And yet God took it and turned it around. I heard a story today about a preacher, and he was to be tried. This was around the Inquisition time frame. He was to be tried that he had brought some doctrine that was against the teaching of the English church, against the Catholic church and all that, and he was going to be executed. Well, in his journey to go to for the execution, he fell off of his horse, broke his leg, and they allowed him to stay in that area and heal before he would go stand to be executed. He was to be burned at the stake. And during his time of healing, what had happened, somebody asked him, he was always quoting Romans 8:28, "For we know that all things work together for the good of them that love God, who are called according to his purpose." They asked him, said, "Do you think this is for good?" He said, "Yeah, I'm sure it is." And there he was, healing with a broke leg. Well, by the time his leg finally healed up, guess what, Miss Carolyn? The ruler died. Somebody else took the ruler's place. The guy who was to have him burned at the stake was executed, and this preacher never stood trial because a broke leg falling off of a horse. You might think the setback was something that you wouldn't have chosen. I may not have chosen it either, but I'm here to tell you, God is in the middle of all of it. God knows exactly what he's doing. His providence works. His sovereignty. And he's not been knocked off of his throne. He knows exactly what he's doing. And he's working in your life and in my life. I'll give you this last one. Miss Becky, I didn't ask you about it. Would you mind coming help me? God is honored, and he will honor a consistent life. He's honored by a consistent life, and he will honor a consistent life. They may not have done a whole lot of things, but the very fact that they could judge Israel for 23 years for one, 22 years for the other, speaks to their consistency. They were just, you know, I got to thinking about that. There's a lot of churches tonight that don't know what they're going to do because they can't find a preacher. They can't find somebody to lead. There's a lot of churches that I sit and worry about what's going to take place because people are in and people are out, people are up, people are down. Though we might be a little bit, a whole lot low tonight, I'm thankful for people that are consistent. I'm thankful for people that are faithful. I'm thankful that I didn't have to worry if I'm not going to have anybody to preach to. Is there going to anything going to happen that I don't have to push a button, I don't have to make happen? I'm glad there's some people that will come and be in their place and do what God has called them to do. And can I tell you this? There's a reward in heaven. What the Bible say? It said that whenever he got to heaven, that he would say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." You might not accomplish everything you dreamed you would, but if you'll be faithful, I promise you, God will reward you. God will give you more than you would ever dream. I want you to stand with me tonight. With heads bowed and eyes closed, how many of us tonight would come and find a place around these altars and say, "Lord, I want to thank you. I want to thank you, Lord, for being faithful to me. I want to thank you that, Lord, I've never had to worry and never had to question and never had to doubt. Lord, I believe you. Lord, I want to thank you for that." Tonight, while these are coming, maybe tonight you need the help of God. You need God to do something special for you. God to do something real in your heart, real in your life. Maybe tonight it'd be a good time to say, "God,
I come before you and I'm bringing my problems. I'm bringing my questions. I'm bringing my difficulties. And Lord, I'm going to lay them at your feet. Lord, you know what's happened in my life. You know what's going on in my life. I can't understand it all. I can't put it all together. But Lord, I'm thankful that you can. Now, Lord, help us tonight. Speak to us in this hour. Speak to us in this place. Oh, Lord, in the name of Jesus, we do pray tonight. Oh, God, in Jesus' name, help us. Speak to us. Maybe you're here tonight, you've got a burden, you've got a need, you just need God to do something special for you. Maybe just slip your hand up. Preacher, here's my hand. Would you help me pray? God knows my burden. God knows my heart. Would you help me pray tonight? Oh, Lord, in Jesus' name, speak to us. We love you tonight. We bless you. Lord, though there are times we feel like we're forgotten about, there are times we feel like we did not achieve everything that we thought we could and should, Lord, I'm thankful tonight that you are in control of all of it. God, you called us to be faithful. Lord, have your will and have your way. We love you tonight. We thank you for all that you do for us. We ask these things in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. All right. Well, thank you for